Check, check, check. Okay, oh, well. Yeah, we are on. Here we go.
Yay! We're back.
That was fun, the New Year's Eve show.
That was a lot of fun.
And I think it might get us in the mood to do a little bit more of the Beer Geek Roundtables and whatnot. It was fun. It seemed a little bit rambling at times, but... And I seemed a little bit drunk at times.
It went for 3.5 hours.
Yeah. I guess it is, by definition, that is rambling, isn't it?
I mean, we're not, you know, you listen to a professional do it, like someone say Howard Stern, and he rambles on, you know, because he has to fill 3 hours, 4 hours of stuff. So you can't do that whole thing. But I'd say there was a good amount of entertainment to be had there.
Yeah, I think something like the Beer Geek Roundtable would have like a tighter format anyway. You know, we wouldn't just be waiting for...
For the first hour, and then it would just get out of hand as we drank more and more.
I'm sure. But kind of like I did in that show.
Mm. We're drinking the Trognator Doppelbock from Trogs. I picked it out of the fridge because we could get a couple. And
yeah, this one came one of the neighbors on the street. We had our Christmas party. He had leftover beer. Gave me a 6-pack of beer, which has some Trognators in it, so not too shabby.
Cool. So we haven't we did the New Year's show, but we didn't talk much other than that. So. I wanted to get your idea for those who listened on the post show last time. We had a gun control
thing. So we were talking about, I'm pro-gun. Greg is not anti-gun. He's anti-assault weapons.
Yes.
And you know, I could be...
Anti-lots of bullets.
Yes. And... you know, it came to the point of view where I was, you know, I could be anti large capacity clips. Mm-hmm. I wasn't anti assault weapons. Depends how you define an assault weapon. But, you know, I think there's a place for an AR-15 in a citizen's home who likes sports shooting. Greg thinks those should be controlled at the shooting ranges.
Right.
so the question that came up, is there still room for an armed militia, and is there room? So I did think about this
armed group of citizens protecting themselves from the evils of the government.
Right. Basically. So I did have time to think about this, and it actually, you know, I recently watched a documentary about the War of 1812, and that gave me some historical insight that I wouldn't have had otherwise. Also, after the Revolution, a lot of Americans, excuse me, I need to blow my nose here.
I'm waiting on pins and needles.
Not so much blow my nose, but I have a little bit of phlegm in the back of my throat.
It's still recording because the things aren't. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's recording. It's just at a different scale. Yeah. So, okay. And anyway, after the Revolution, the citizens didn't really trust. They didn't want the United States to have a standing army because they were worried that would be used by the leadership to, you know, keep control, you know, instead of, so that's why there was a lot of state militias or regional militias. You know, they didn't want a standing army. They didn't trust the idea of a standing army. And that's really what the right to bear arms was really spawned from, that kind of whole mindset. Have your own local militias to defend, come together to defend the country, not really as a safety valve against the leadership to revolt against them. It wasn't a check and balance,
right?
Like the rest of the way the Constitution and the, you know, way the government is laid out. The right to bear arms wasn't, you know, so I was misthinking. It was a post show, so I maybe because of the beers I wasn't thinking so clearly.
Well, that's the way it's interpreted today. That's the way that at least many people on the right side of the issue. Right versus right, left, not right being correct. But on the right side of the issue, say that it's about keeping the protection for the citizen against the almighty government or something like that.
I don't...
That's how it's framed. At
very not being a constitutional scholar or more than an armchair historian, if even that, I can't cite one way or the other, but from my ignorant knowledge of the situation, I don't think it was ever intended to be that check and balance against, you know, being able to, you know, revolt against the government.
So, well, does that change your mind on it?
Change my mind on it.
Or do you think that it's useful? Do you? I mean, that was your point, was that right, you still think it was useful as a check and balance against the government?
I was trying to figure that out.
Do you think that it's useful? Do you think that you now feel that it wasn't intended to be that way?
Right.
But do you think it has its use as that?
It's not currently useful. It's not like government is worried about an armed uprising for anything they do.
Right.
You know, I think that.
So does it fit as a justification for being able to have any weapons of your choosing?
I don't know. I'm still pro-gun, damn it.
As I said before, this position requires epistemic closure, which means that you're not going to change overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully, when the evidence comes in and it's overwhelming, you have to change. You're forced into it. Like I was with global warming, for example. And it took me a long time before I was able to admit that it was there, because I, you know, politically didn't like it. I didn't like all these things about it, but the data was pretty unequivocal. Mm-hmm. And after a certain point, it was too much cognitive dissonance to not go with the data. It was too much. So this is slightly different. There's no hard data.
Yeah, and the place I'm struggling with is, you know, I guess it's more or less the assault weapons and whatnot, right? I mean, large capacity. The ability to throw a lot of bullets through that assault weapon and reload quickly. Because, you know, that was just the copy finishing. I'm not even trying to take on the argument, because I don't agree with the argument of if you take the guns off the street, there won't be any gun violence. You know, that's not going to be the case, right? Because that's assuming everyone follows the law, right?
It's a silly argument either way.
Right. So we're talking about the massacres and not just the gun violence, right? I mean, that's kind of I'm just looking at that one segment of, you know, where someone walks in with thousands of rounds of ammo and kills dozens of people.
Well, I mean, you're dealing with the fact that you have this ubiquitous element in society that is capable of killing large amounts of people. And, more importantly, that's the only thing it is useful for. Aside from, you know, here and there a competition, there is only one thing that guns are useful for, and that's for killing things. That's it. That's what they're used for. This is designed to shoot high-speed projectiles, large amounts of high-speed projectiles, efficiently and accurately.
Right. I don't think you can discount the competition part of it.
I think you can discount it in terms of it being not something that, you know, if you can regulate it and you can slap laws on that, and you can have them have their competitions without severely infringing upon people's rights.
Sure. I can buy that. Hurts. I feel like a traitor, but I'm never going to drop the money to buy any AR-15 anyway.
I mean, you mentioned the car argument before, you know, that you can run over 30 people with a car. In the right circumstances, it's possible. But a car is not designed to kill people. A car is designed and is, you know, developed to transport somebody from one place to another. Airplanes are not designed to bring down buildings. They turn out to be very effective in that matter, but that's not what they're developed and designed to do. Mm-hmm. These weapons are designed solely to kill. That's it.
The assault rifles, yes. Not all firearms.
What?
There's a large bunch of firearms that are designed for competition.
Well,
there are.
Yeah, no, but that's sort of like saying
there are weapons designed.
F1 racers designed solely for racing, so are they technically cars? Well, yeah. I mean, so there are, you know, small fringe parts that have actual, you know, things that are designed simply for a different purpose. But the larger, wider picture, the larger Venn diagram of things.
I mean, okay, so if we're expanding things out to make points, you know, knives were invented to kill people too. Right, so we shouldn't have kitchen knives. You know?
Swords were invented to kill people. Knives are very inefficient at killing people. Swords are much better.
But it's another tool that, you know, what came first, the preparing a meal with a knife or killing someone or something with a knife, right?
Probably so, killing something with
right.
a knife.
Right. So then a knife was invented to kill things.
And and we make sure that those people, you know, there should be legal ramifications to having a very sharp and deadly samurai sword. But
well, sure. Well, so there's guns that are made for killing and guns that are made for other recreational uses.
Yes.
Shotguns aren't designed for killing. They'd be horrible for killing. You know.
They're designed for hunting.
Well, yes, they're not good for killing large things like people. They're good for killing small things like squirrels and birds.
Okay, I mean, I don't know hunting that well. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm saying that you let the people have devices that are useful for hunting. You let people have devices that are useful for sporting events. And if they can be used...
To kill lots of people.
To kill lots of people, then you regulate them very, very strongly.
I think that's, I mean, that's reasonable. I mean, what is the valid use for someone to have an AR-15 in their house?
There is only to show it off to people.
Yeah, look, I have $3,000 to spend on a gun.
Yeah. There's no other valid, I mean, the other valid option was to prevent the government from taking my things, right? But. Mm-hmm. As you now see.
What about preppers? What about doomsday preppers?
Yeah, that sort of thing, too.
Well, is that a valid?
No.
I work with a guy who's a ammunition hoarder. I'm not sure if he's technically a doomsday prepper, but he is ready for the apocalypse.
You know... He well then he'll have the last laugh.
He'll be well prepared when the apocalypse happens. Right. Let's just say that. Not sure how closely he's planning on it to happen, but
as long as he doesn't try to make it happen.
Right. I think it's more of a defensive. This is mine. Go steal yours from somewhere else.
If he wants to waste money, I mean, you know, I remember hearing about from my parents the time when they went through in the late 60s when. The apocalypse really did seem like right around the corner. When nuclear apocalypse was coming, it was just a matter of when.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a scary time. This is a much different place we live in now, much different world.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I'm still, you know, pro-gun, but it's hard for me to justify why I should have a civilian version of a military rifle. You know, modern military rifle. A gun I would like to own is like an M1, you know, like the old World War II style
right,
carbine.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a good, fun gun to shoot at the range. And it only holds...
4 or 5.
I think it holds like 8 to 10 shells.
Oh, okay.
But it's not something you can reload quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it has a stripper clip. But still, compared to modern reloading, it's a semi-automatic.
Okay,
but it loads through, so a stripper clip is this little metal band that holds all the shells by the back end pieces, and you kind of put it into a rail, and then you have to push all the shells down into the gun. So it's
right,
not a magazine that you reload.
Right.
So it's definitely of course, you know, the people were fighting World War II learned how to load them rather quickly, but it's not the same kind of ease of use as, you know. Popping a new 30-round magazine into an M16 or an M4 or something like that. So, I mean, so yeah, So, I mean, but it's a blurry line, slippery slope. You know, play devil's advocate to what I just said, right? Yes, Jeff wants an M1. No, Jeff doesn't want an AR-15. Is there really much of a difference?
I would say there's a considerable difference. One, pop, click, 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 pop, 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 versus pop, pop.
No, it's semi-auto. It's pop, 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 pop. Yeah.
Pop, 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 pop.
Yeah.
More chance to run away. More chance to even tackle the guy. There's significant differences.
Sure.
What kind of round do you use in an M1?
M1's a heavier round, actually. It'll do more damage when it hits you. You know, when they went to the M16, it was a, you know, really small.
But these were kids, so it would have killed them. Yeah, I mean, that's major damage.
It was a lot of really... I didn't really do the research, but I'm presuming with that many dead, he had to be right on top of them because
yeah.
I was... This is going to sound crass, especially with all the events that just happened. But, you know, in hearing Massacre and actually reading about like how many people die in Massacres traditionally, I'm like, really? I thought Massacres would be like scores of people, not half dozens of people.
Well, these days, I mean, you hear Massacre for four. I mean, anything that's big enough to draw media's attention.
Well, I mean, but like even Massacre. What the Valentine's Day Massacre was like 12 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and before that, I just always pictured Massacres as, you know.
Well, we've become accustomed to not dealing with that much death.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I was always so surprised at Massacres. But then, you know, with all the shootings, even over recent times, the body counts normally aren't that high. And when I heard there was 27 people dead at this one, it kind of took me by a side. So, I mean, yeah, first graders. And he was probably right on top of a lot of them because, I mean, even with a gun like that, if you're not a trained professional, it's pretty easy to miss, you know? So,
but not if you're right on top of them, not right, if you're in close quarters. It's easy to miss from distance.
Right. Yeah. I mean, people who think that guns have, you know, people that watch too much Hollywood and have never shot a gun thinks guns are, you know.
Well, the weird thing is they never look at it from the other perspective, right? Because the hero always has the shots to hit people, but the villains are always shooting at him and they always miss. So clearly there's something to guns not being super accurate.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Good point. But they're always exploding nearby, right around the person.
Right, right.
The little squibs or whatever. That's a good point. Bad guys are horrible shots.
This is the TV tropes called the inverse ninja theorem.
Okay.
So the idea is that the power of your ninja is going to be inversely proportional to how many ninjas the other side he has to fight. So if he has to fight 1,000 ninjas, he's going to be super powerful. If he has to fight one ninja, he's going to have a hard time with that one ninja.
Oh, so the same guy.
Right.
Right, so like the bad guys they only release one of their expert ninjas at a time. They never release them.
Well, no, the power of your enemies... Well, changes based on how many enemies there are to...
Well, right. So the guy who's the commander of the bad guys never releases four of his top-notch ninjas at the same time. Be a good plan, because he probably could defeat the white ninja if he released four of the black ninjas. No, release 20 of the schmoes, let them get mowed down, and then release each one of your four good ninjas at a time so they can each be defeated, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Universe ninja theory. That's just bad strategy. I like it, though. I want to read the theorem on that.
Let me look it up for you. Inverse ninja theorem.
I mean, I want to read the whole scientific paper is what I want to read.
Oh, I don't know whether it's a scientific paper. It's really more of a...
Did you see that thing I sent you over Twitter about the wax being oxygen permeable? Did you see that?
Yeah. I did see that.
I clicked the link and went to it, but I mean, it was seriously a scientific paper, and it was not light reading. So I kind of like said, I thought, you know, maybe if you're in the right mood, you would find it fascinating. Like, you know, when you really dove into skunking, maybe not, but there's an option for you if you want to dive into something hardcore.
Well, you know, skunking and oxidation are different things entirely. So,
mm-hmm.
It's something to go into, but oxidation is considerably more complex because there's a lot more going on.
Well, this is just about, you know, using wax to stop oxygen infiltration through a cap, right? Mm-hmm. And is it function? Is it useful or not? You know?
It doesn't surprise me that there's some oxygen permeability, but the question is how much?
Mm-hmm. It's they said in the tweet, it says there's some of those waxes are as permeable as a PET plastic bottle, which is not very good for bottling beer in. So,
Oh, at what length, at what thickness, too? I mean, those PET bottles, some of them are extremely thin.
The examination was like thin films of wax and just measuring the relative permeability of each one.
So if you had a non-thin film, and you get permeability from that. Because, I mean, you're not using a thin film of wax.
Yeah. Yeah, I like I said, I didn't. I'm like, oh, this sounds like it might be a neat read if it was written to be digested in 20 minutes, but it's not written to be digested in, it's not in lay speak, and it's not written to be digested quickly.
It's also called the Law of Conservation of Ninjutsu.
Conservation of Ninjutsu. Like thermodynamics, right? Where it it always has to be almost equal, right?
Right.
And the only, you know, the only difference will just be due to random chance or whatnot, right? Like, so the good ninja can always count on something that'll be almost equal to his skill.
If you take the total amount of ninjutsu in the entire group, then it should be zero, right? The positive and negative should
so
equal.
So all his foes will almost equal him,
right? But if there's just one foe, then they should be pretty almost equally equal matched.
Him. Right.
I like that. I like it even better. The Law of Conservation of Ninjutsu.
That's great. So what else? I got a new employee this week.
Okay.
Really good so far. I'm excited. I got a big smile on my face.
All right. Is he sucking you off? That would be a big smile.
Not yet, no. I haven't reached that point in our relationship yet.
Just wait. Just wait. Let's see, where am I? I have this Mitt Romney picture to show you. If you look on the web for Tiny Face Mitt, you might see this one.
When I first looked at it, I didn't realize the face was shrunken. I thought the eyes were just missing. And maybe I thought the eyes were his nostrils at first. You know,
he has a big giant head, but a very, very tiny face and a
big mouth.
Yeah,
that's nice. Lots of wrinkles on that forehead.
And then you should also read. They found.
I thought it was going to be a post-election hangover type photo.
Yeah, they found Obama's birth certificate, his real one.
Certificate of live Muslim Kenyan birth to white lady. B-Rock. B-Rock, the Islamic Shock, Hussein, Super Hala, Obama. Someone had too much.
Like David's height, his weight, and Muslim, as all hell. And then gender male, place of birth, Kenya Town, Kenya. And sure he's Muslim? Oh, yeah.
It's quiet in here not having that computer running, huh?
Yeah.
It almost makes you think stuff's not working.
It's the lovely power of SSDs.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't have an SSD in here. Oh, really? It's sent back. I had it out for a while, and over Christmas break, I tried to mess with it again, and it has actually worked for a couple of days, and then it completely bricked. Like, I wouldn't get past the EFI BIOS on this guy, put it in this computer, he wouldn't even get past the Dell setup BIOS, so that made the RMA nice and easy. So I'll get a whole new SSD that hopefully won't have any issues and hit the ground running.
And you're on. Cool.
Because that SSD I actually had to like do the secure erase on it and reinstall it like 4 times. Pain in the ass. I'm not sure if I could recommend an OCZ SSD to people. You know, it's just one of my coworkers had to get his RMA also. You know, he's having several issues with it, different model. So it might be worth spending if you're getting an SSD for your computer to to pay a little bit more and get a Samsung or something instead of the
ACG. I would say with things like SSDs, pay the extra $20. You'll be glad you did. Let me see which one I got before we go on. Because I bought an SSD for my computer and I'm very happy with it. But that's not it. It was last month. Sorry. The Amazon interface doesn't let you easily find stuff that was not a month ago. Keep talking.
Oh, I was just looking. I saw someone fell. I was on Facebook for the hoax, the Back to the Future hoax date again. every couple months, someone photoshops the Back to the Future times on the time machine for today's date. And everyone's like, oh, today's Back to the Future Day. I've seen it like six times.
It's 2015, October 28th, right? Something like that. October 15th,
2015? October 21st, 2015.
This is it. I got the SanDisk.
Okay. Yeah, but people, no one verifies. They always just forward all the shit that they see. No one thinks, you know, they're getting something pulled over on them. Remember when Bill Gates wanted to buy you a Maserati or something? Buy a Toyota Prius, I think it was, if you forwarded the email.
I get so many of those. I got from, you know, the company I told you that I told you guys, the company that I work for is Christian. So I got one of those Jesus 12 apostles 12 things about Christmas forwards. it was all nonsense, but I didn't have the heart to, or balls, to forward it back. Hey, check Snopes, dumbass.
Yeah, people just want to believe.
Yes.
What about this comet that might be brighter than the moon if it survives its pass by the sun? Did you see that?
Yes, I did see that there might be an extremely bright comet sometime next year. This year.
Yeah. So brighter than the moon. That would be insane.
It'd be one of the brightest comets in history.
Could you imagine?
It'd be hard to imagine. But I mean, Halley's Comet in was it the early 1800s was very, very bright.
Okay. I remember in 88, it wasn't a good season to see. It was like, couldn't barely see it at all. I remember that year my mom bought a Halley's Comet, How to Find Halley's Comet book, and she wanted to get it to me for Christmas. Mm-hmm. But Christmas was like, you know, like three quarters of the way past prime viewing season, mm-hmm. you know. So when I got the book, hey, it's over. So I never got to see it or anything.
I remember seeing it and not understanding why I saw it, but it looked like things were billowing from it. And I was like, I guess that's the comet. Now I realize I was seeing probably atmospheric disturbance.
Uh-huh. Gotcha. But did you see it through like a telescope?
I think it was binoculars.
Binoculars, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. It wasn't much. It was a white streak, basically. When Hale Bob was out, that was a lot cooler. That was 94. That was the one that Heaven's Gate people.
Oh, right.
Killed those hills.
I don't remember looking at that one. Yeah, so this would be cool. Brighter than the moon. I'm wondering, I didn't mention, but I wonder how big it will appear in the sky. I think it almost would have to be smaller than the moon, but maybe super white or...
Colors probably won't come through that clearly.
Well, I mean, it's going to be white.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to look like a spotlight in the sky. I mean, if it's smaller than the moon, but brighter than the moon, it has to be hell bright, you know, crazy bright.
I think it might be more diffuse than the moon. Mm.
But I mean, if it's brighter then, it's going to like cast shadows and stuff.
Yeah, it could.
But they're not even sure it's going to survive its pass by the sun. So we could just be speculating for naught, but that would be crazy to see something like that.
Well, we have the gear for it.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. I don't know. That would just be so cool to go outside and it'd be, you know, brighter than a full moon out there. It'd be insane.
What times? We haven't. I can't even see now. How long we've been going? So,
been going for. Where's the timer? There it is. 29:39.
All right. So I think we can go on to the next thing and come back to more stuff.
Okay.